Today on Life Talk.
And how many times in life do you put that cross down and pick it back up? Put it down to chase something and then pick it back up. That's why Jesus said, I'm not telling you just on Sundays take up your cross. I'm saying every day take up your cross, because every day if you don't, something's going to grab your attention and draw you away from God's highest and best.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you. LifeTalkRadio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. Thank you so much for joining us. In our last couple of times together, we've talked about the word disciple and what it means in connection with being a true follower of Jesus Christ. We've discussed several roadblocks that hinder our ability to follow the Lord in genuine discipleship, such as not understanding the cost of discipleship, or the tendency to allow our affections for other things to take first place in our life instead of Him. Now today we're going to talk about your cross. And that's right, I said your cross, not His cross, your cross. We'll see what Jesus didn't mean when He said, pick up your cross and follow me. And we're going to explore what He did actually mean when He talked about your cross. We'll also look at Jesus' description of what real discipleship entails, how costly it is, and what it requires from His followers. And we're going to conclude with a look at how the cross I'm required to carry may not be the same cross someone else is called to carry, as was the case with Peter and John. I know this is going to be a blessing for you, so let's go to the message on your cross. Now I got huge breaking news for you. I was in my front yard. And while I was in my front yard, my neighbor, who has been my neighbor for 22, 23 years, you know, I'm working on landscape lights. She says, oh, Jeff, come over here. So I went over there, known her for a long time. She says, I wanted to let you know that I was at my bridge club. And one of my bridge partners brought your name up. And I said, uh-oh. What did she say? She said, she started talking about your radio show. She said, I listen to that radio show every day. It is such a blessing to me. And my neighbor said, well, he's my neighbor. She said, no. Now, folks, I want you to know, you are under maximum anointing if you're penetrating the bridge clubs of Fort Worth. Right? That really blessed me. I'll tell you, hey, we're moving on up. The bridge clubs are talking about us. Well, we've been talking about the crosswalk. How many of you are thankful for the cross of Jesus? Are you thankful that He didn't put it down? He carried it all the way to the end, and they crucified Him on that cross? Well, we're going to talk about your crosswalk today and your cross. So let's read what Jesus had to say. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I'm in Luke 14, so if you got your Bibles, hold it up and wave it. Let me see if you got your sword. All right, let's open them up. I know it's easier to look at the screen, but let's don't cheat. Let's open them up. Luke 14, verse 25, listen carefully to what Jesus said. Now, great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, verse 27 is where I'm going today. And whoever does not bear his cross, notice Jesus didn't say my cross, He said your cross, and come after me, what are the last four words? Cannot be my disciple. Now the word cannot in the Greek means cannot. If you don't pick up your cross and follow Him, you cannot be His disciple. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been on this crosswalk series, crosswalk. Of course, a play on words. You know what a crosswalk is when you come to one, and it's a crosswalk. But we're called to our own crosswalk, the walk of the cross. And we began this series talking about your discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be a learner. So first, your discipleship. Then the next week, we talked about your affections, that our affections are to be primarily and solely and supremely set on Him. And only He can bring our hearts to that place. We can be willing, but only the Lord can cause us to love Him that way. And you know what? We love Him only because He first loved us. So your discipleship, your affections, and today I want to talk about your cross. Because Jesus said, you've got a cross. Jesus said, you're to pick up your cross. He said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. But now if you go earlier on in Luke, to Luke chapter 9, he gives really the fullest expression of this command. And I want you to hear it. Luke 9, verse 23, he says essentially the same thing, a little bit added to it. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Well, that's attractive sounding, isn't it? We don't like doing that. That's what he said. Let him deny himself and take up his cross, how often? Daily, and follow me. So here in Luke 9:23, the fuller expression is this. We're called to deny ourselves. That's what it means to pick up the cross. Take up our cross on a daily basis, not just on Sundays or on a Wednesday night when we're feeling spiritual. But the call of the disciple is to each and every day, all day, week in, month out, year in, year out, the rest of our lives, we are called to pick up a cross daily. And that is the only way, folks, hear me, that we will ever follow him. Because if we don't pick up the cross, if we don't deny ourselves, when God's will requires it, and live a crucified life on a daily basis, we will not succeed in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We will be stopped along the way. The road will be blocked by one of three things that Jesus already told us about. He said, you're going to be blocked by either earthly affections, earthly attachments, or selfishness, or possessions. Those three things are going to stop you. Now, today I'm going to talk about our selfishness. Anybody in here selfish like me? Aren't we so easily selfish? The slogan of our culture is, it's all about me and nothing about him. But the call of a disciple is, it's all about him and not about me. But we're called to deny ourselves. So those three things will be like a roadblock and will stop us. We're called to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. Now, I want to begin with what Jesus didn't mean, because I've heard this my whole life. When people read this verse, pick up your cross daily and follow me, here's the way some interpret it, and it's wrong. Many people believe that the cross is talking about some burden in our life that we're carrying that God somehow put on us. Let me give some examples. A strained relationship. Somebody's in a difficult marriage. You say, wow, you're in a difficult marriage. Yes, it's just the cross Jesus gave me to bear. Don't call your marriage a cross. Or a thankless job. A difficult job. Hey, man, you got this job. Oh, man, I'm miserable in this job, but it's just the cross he gave me to bear. Some infirmity, that's a big one, or a sickness. And you'll hear somebody say, well, I've got this because it's the cross Jesus gave me to bear. Can I say about all those things, no, it's not. Jesus doesn't look down and say, I think I'm going to lay cancer on them so they've got a good cross to bear. Or I think I'm just going to see to it that they're in a miserable marriage so that they'll have a cross to bear. Now, let me tell you what the cross is. Take up your cross and follow me simply means this: being willing to die to your own desires when they come into conflict with following Jesus. It's that simple. Being willing to die to your own desires when they come into conflict with following Jesus. See, we've got desires. We're people that live in a body. We're people that have goals and aspirations and needs and wants and desires. And sometimes that old flesh will rise up and it'll come into conflict with something that Jesus wants for us. And that is when we pick up that cross and deny ourselves so that we can follow the will of God. That's the cross. That's the cross. It's called dying to self. If anyone desires to come after me, Jesus said, let him deny
himself. Because you're going to be walking with Jesus, carrying that cross, and something's going to come along, and the devil's good at this. He'll put something beside you, in front of you, behind you, something that grabs your attention, and he'll call to you, whistle to you, "Yoo-hoo, look over here." And here's what we are tempted to do. Put that cross down, say, "Stay right there, I'll be right back." And then we go and chase something that was not in God's will for us. And then when we're all done with that, we come crawling back, get into the altar, and pick up the cross again. And how many times in life do you put that cross down and pick it back up? Put it down to chase something and then pick it back up. That's why Jesus said, "I'm not telling you just on Sundays take up your cross. I'm saying every day take up your cross, because every day if you don't, something's going to grab your attention and draw you away from God's highest and best." It's called absolute surrender. I surrender all, unless it's this or that or that, and then I don't. Well, when it comes to God's will for us, when he's really called us to do something, to walk a certain way, it's never "I can't," it's always "I really won't." Because whatever he's called us to do, he's going to grace us to go that way. So Christianity is really definitely, folks, going to mess with our stuff. Christianity is going to meddle. Real Christianity. Jesus said, you're going to have to pick up your cross every single day, or you won't finish the race. You won't finish the fight. You will not be able to complete my will unless you pick up that cross, because all of your own desires and wishes and wants are going to get in the way. Selfishness. When we come into conflict with our own desires as opposed to what Jesus wants for us, here's where his words come in. For whoever wants to save his life by laying down his cross will lose it. But whoever loses his life by carrying his cross will find it. That's one of those paradoxes in the kingdom of God. To live, you got to die. And if you seek to save your life, you're actually going to end up losing it, because life is found in the will of God, not the will of Jeff. That's where life is found. Because folks, I think you understand that Christianity is not just a ticket to ride when the rapture comes. But Christianity is a lifelong journey during which time we must pick up our cross, or we're not going to finish the race like God really wants us to.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
He said, whoever loses his life by carrying his cross for me will save it. Now, I know I say it all the time, but words matter, especially Bible words. And you know what that word "save" means in the original language in which it was written? Picking up your cross and following Jesus literally delivers you from the danger of worldly corruption. And it delivers you from missing God's will. And it puts you in a place of safety. So let me just do the revised Wickwire Amplified version here. Whoever is willing to lose his life by carrying the cross will save it, will be saved from corruption, will be saved from missing God's will, and will be saved by being placed in a place of safety. So although the calling is tough, pick up that cross. There's nothing attractive about a cross. Only one thing happens on a cross: things die. That's all that happens on a cross. You don't hang flowers on a cross. You don't put a cross in your garden as something attractive. On crosses, only one thing happens: you die. Something dies on crosses. And it's our will, our way, our desires, our aspirations, so that we can successfully follow him in discipleship. Now, second, the Lord wants it to be very clear to us. I'm so thankful that Jesus was blunt and honest, because he said, not only is the cross not something that I put on you like sickness or disease, but it's you laying down your will, but it's also costly. I want you to know the cross is costly. And he said very plainly, count the cost. Because all these people were following him around. The context here is there was a great crowd following him. And it's to this great crowd he turns and begins to tell them the truth about discipleship. You know, following Jesus is easy when life is running smoothly, when the wind is at your back and the sun is shining and the seas are calm. It is easy to follow Jesus then when you're feeling the blessing and you're feeling peace and things are going your way. It's easy to follow Jesus. Think about this. The crowd following Jesus was experiencing free miracle lunches and the spectacle and the wonder of people being healed and miracles happening all around them. Jesus was a one-man traveling circus of events and wonders and amazing spectacles. He was a one-man gravy train. He was a walking wonder worker, Jesus. And this crowd is following him everywhere he goes. He's doing miracles and they're watching this thing happen. They're watching bread and fishes multiply miraculously and they're eating free. He's a meal ticket. But then he wheels around to this crowd and he says, listen, if you want to follow me, things are going to change. What do you mean things are going to change? Well, things are going to change because it's going to require sacrifice from you. As a matter of fact, it's going to require everything from you. You're watching the miracles, and yes, you're watching the signs, and I know people who are signs chasers and miracle chasers, but when it comes down to, will you lay down your life for me and pick up your cross, that's when the crowd thins out. Jesus never hid the cost from us. Listen to his two examples. He said, which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, look at him, but he wasn't able to finish. So here you've got a builder, and the builder is building a tower. And what is the tower? It is a life of discipleship and fruitfulness for the kingdom of God. That's the tower. I'm going to follow you. That's the tower. For the rest of my life, I'm going to build on you. He's a tower builder. The tower builder that Jesus presents here, he begins a walk of discipleship. He starts strong, but he's caught off guard by the true cost involved. He's not able to finish. It's one thing to be a good beginner. It's another thing to be a good finisher. And Jesus wants you and me to be good finishers. And you know what? He who has begun a good work in you is going to complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. And it's good for us to hear the terms of the agreement, isn't it? It's good for us to hear the terms because there are terms to this contract. Yes, we're saved and going to heaven, but if we want to be a disciple, and every Christian is called to be one, then we've got to count the cost so that people who hear us saying, man, I'm following Jesus the rest of my life, 20 years down the road, aren't looking at us saying, well, look at you. You're no longer really following him, walking with him, you've kind of sputtered and puttered out. And they begin to mock. So that's the builder. Then there's a king. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great ways off, the army approaching is still a good distance away, the king sends a delegation and says, look, let's make peace. I don't have what it takes to fight you. In other words, the spiritual warrior here didn't win the good fight because he wasn't prepared for the cost it would require. And what is that? I lay down my own will, my own aspirations, my own desires, particularly when they come into conflict with the kingdom of God, and I do it every day, all day, the rest of my life. And guess what? When I do that, that's where the life is. To live, we must die. I think of Paul, who clearly counted the cost. There's no doubt Paul, to my mind, was the greatest Christian to ever live. And Paul counted the cost. Look at what he said. I have fought a good fight. I have, say it with me, finished. Say it again, finished. One more time, it's a good word. Finished my course. I have kept the faith. So he fought well, he finished well, he kept well. And he was able to finish because Because each and every day he picked up that cross and followed Jesus. In Luke 9, 57 to 62, we read about three people who seemed willing to follow Jesus, but they puttered out when Jesus gave them the terms of the agreement. The first man Jesus deals with is clearly used to being, see if you recognize this one, he's clearly used to being in a cushiony comfort zone, which Jesus recognized in him. And the Bible records, Jesus said, or it says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. That is the voice of somebody saying, I'm going to be your disciple. But Jesus said to him, knowing him, looked at him and said, guess what? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Can I translate that for you? Discipleship, sir, will be inconvenient. The man walked away. The second man was torn by earthly loyalties. Then Jesus said to another man, follow me. Look what the man said. He said, Lord, let me first. That was his problem. Let me first. That was his problem because the kingdom wasn't his first. It was his second. He said, let me first go and bury my father. Well, that sounds reasonable. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Translated, discipleship must be top priority, even over your own family and loved ones. Yeah, that's what it's saying. When Jesus calls, you drop everything and you go. And then there was a third man who was torn by a familial bond. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first, there that is again, let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. I just want to go say goodbye to my friends. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Translated, discipleship requires single-hearted devotion. This third man was taken by total surprise. You don't even want me to go say goodbye to my friends. He said, no. He said, once you have started following me, once you have got your eyes on me, once you have heard the call, once you have experienced the summons, then I want you to drop everything and don't look back. And you follow me with single-hearted devotion. That's the life of a disciple. That's part of the cross. Now, if Jesus were here, let's just say all of a sudden I go away and he's standing right here. He might put these questions to us. And I'm just going to give it to you straight, okay? This is what I get from the Word of God. Here it is. He might say this to us. Are you willing to follow me even if it means losing some of your closest friends? Are you willing to follow me if it means alienation from your family? Well, I don't know, Lord. We're a tight family. He's tighter. Here's another one. Are you willing to follow me even if it means the loss of your reputation? Lord, I've worked all my life for this reputation. You'd be surprised what people don't think about you. You think you've got this reputation. They talk behind your back and backstab you all the time. I learned a long time ago, what people think matters very little. What he thinks matters everything, right? So don't worry about your reputation. God will take care of your reputation. But here's another question. Are you willing to follow me even if it means losing your job? Because that's happening to people all over America now. Here's the last one. This is a tough one, but he said it. Are you willing to follow me if it means losing your life? Now, following Jesus, lest I scare you, but I'm telling you what he told all of us in the Bible. Following Jesus doesn't necessarily mean all these things are going to happen to you. But here's the deal. You must be willing and preemptively prepared. Should any of these things happen, you're ready to say what we used to sing when I first got saved. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. No turning back.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.